This is Arkies in the Beltway, a look at national politics and the Arkansans influencing the discussions. I'm Alex Thomas, Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, reporting from the nation's capital. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of August 11th, 2024. Arkansas Democrats ecstatic about Vice President Kamala Harris's pick as her running mate. Harris named Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as the vice presidential nominee last Tuesday. Walz, a former member of the U.S. House of Representatives, is in the middle of his second term as governor. His tenure has been highlighted by support of free meals for children and paid family leave. Former Arkansas gubernatorial candidate Chris Jones echoing what has become the slogan of Harris's presidential campaign in celebrating the news.
When we fight, we win. Vice President Kamala Harris has picked a winner.
Jones led a virtual event last week, Rural Americans for Harris, geared toward highlighting how a Harris presidency could impact rural communities. The fundraising call, one of many held in recent weeks supporting the vice president, with other calls targeting groups of various backgrounds, from white men to black women to members of the LGBTQ plus community.
We know that black women are fired up for Harris Walz. We know that black men are fired up for Harris Walz. We know that white women are fired up for Harris Walz. We know that white dudes are fired up for Harris Walz. We know that Latino Americans are fired up for Harris Walz and those with disabilities and all and on and on and on. And now we know that rural Americans are fired up for the Harris Walz ticket.
Former Congressman Vic Snyder did not participate in that call, but he spoke favorably about his former House colleague with the Democrat Gazette shortly after the announcement.
In terms of, I think, what Americans yearn for right now, we want competence and decency, and I just think, a generous spirit running the country.
Democrats from across the country eager to build momentum with Harris becoming the party's torchbearer. Will Watson with the Democratic Party of Arkansas spoke during last Tuesday's event. He was open with his hope that some of that energy will carry over to state and local races.
We've seen attacks on abortion access and people's identity that are unprecedented in Arkansas, even under previous Republican administrations. But the fact is, we have hope. Let's make sure that we elect Kamala Harris and Tim Walz this fall, and that we're investing in the long haul in rural states to lift Democrats at every level.
Republicans ready to criticize the pick. U.S. Representative Bruce Westerman of Hot Springs worked alongside Walz on Capitol Hill. While he considers Walz to be a decent person, Westerman says Walz's positions may not win over independent voters.
I think she went further left with her pick. I don't know that it gets her a whole lot in the electorate.
Other GOP criticisms concern Walz's handling of violent protests following the murder of George Floyd and the timing of Walz's retirement from the Army National Guard before his congressional run in 2006. Congress is continuing its August recess, but this break in legislative action provides an opportunity to look at some items moving through the halls of the Capitol. One bipartisan effort addressing how physicians are reimbursed by Medicare. Senator John Bozeman of Rogers, a Republican, and Vermont Democrat Peter Welch announcing the Physician Fee Stabilization Act to update the current physician fee schedule for paying doctors and providers. Under federal law, any changes to how physicians are paid must be budget neutral, meaning as service costs have risen, physicians have received smaller Medicare reimbursement payments. Speaking to the Democrat Gazette before the break, Bozeman stressed the importance of updating the system, acknowledging Congress has not changed the budget neutrality threshold since 1992.
Medicare, by law, has a finite amount of money that they can pay out to providers. And like everything else with inflation, it doesn't work anymore. You know, the world is totally different now than it was in the 1990s as far as cost.
Multiple groups have voiced support for the bill, including the Arkansas Medical Society, the American Medical Association, and the American Optometric Association. Members of Arkansas's congressional delegation, hopeful about securing millions of dollars for projects in the natural state. Four lawmakers, Bozeman and Representatives Rick Crawford, Steve Womack, and Bruce Westerman, making requests totaling more than $486 million, with some overlap in these priorities. Senate and House appropriators considering the request, commonly referred to as earmarks, as part of the annual appropriations process. Earmarks make up around 1% of discretionary spending. Bozeman is a Senate appropriator, serving as the top Republican on the subcommittee handling military construction and Veterans Affairs.
The argument is, you know, that the congressman or the senator who lives there knows a lot more about the state. You take, you know, some of the politics out of it and make sure that these projects are very worthwhile.
The Senate and House have allowed earmarks since 2021, following a 10-year moratorium of the practice amid concerns about wasteful spending and the limited impact of some requests. Representative Crawford of Jonesboro challenges any suggestion that his request would not benefit his district and Arkansas as a whole. The congressman speaking to the Democrat Gazette late last month.
If I'm okay with this being on the front page of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, it's a good thing.
Around half of the funding from Arkansas's lawmakers involve issues related to transportation, housing, and urban development. Representative Womack of Rogers leads the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Subcommittee in the House, a title he accepted in April after the then-subcommittee chairman Tom Cole of Oklahoma took control of the full House Appropriations Committee.
There are so many needs in my district and in our state that benefit if I'm the chairman, because I have a lot of influence as to directing where this money's going to go. Can't send it all to the 3rd District, can't send it all to the state of Arkansas, but we can sure get our share.
Some of the transportation-related projects include $59 million for the Springdale Northern Bypass, $6.7 million for constructing Interstate 57 from Walnut Ridge to the Missouri state line, and $9 million for improvements to U.S. Highway 412. As it concerns Interstate 57, Crawford says the project will hopefully alleviate traffic on Interstate 40 by providing an alternative route for motorists traveling north.
I don't care where you are on I-40, you're going to find some construction because it is such a busy, busy corridor. This is a relief valve.
One of Representative Westerman's requests concerns the former Army-Navy hospital in Hot Springs. Officials have struggled to determine what to do with the site, which the state left in 2019. The future has been made more complicated given the facility's status on the National Register of Historic Places list and its proximity to Hot Springs National Park. House appropriators approved $7.2 million for demolishing and stabilizing some of these structures on site. Westerman, speaking before the break, saying officials need to do something given the condition of some of the buildings at the facility.
If there were to be a big fire or something, that would have a broad negative public impact. So we requested money to do some demolition to some of the outbuildings on the Army-Navy Hospital.
Senator Tom Cotton and Representative French Hill, both of Little Rock, did not submit any requests. Both lawmakers have a record of opposing earmarks. Congress has limited time to finalize these earmarks and the related 12 spending bills. The Senate and House will not be back on Capitol Hill until September 9th, giving lawmakers 3 weeks to pass something before the start of the next fiscal year on October 1st. The chambers are taking separate paths on these measures. Senate appropriators have passed 11 of the 12 bills, but the full Senate has yet to vote on a single measure. House appropriators have approved the dozen, but the House Republican Conference has only passed 5 bills, in part because of the GOP's slim majority in Congress's lower chamber. The full House has yet to consider Womack's bill. He says he wants his House colleagues to take this responsibility seriously and provide House appropriators with some leverage in future negotiations with their Senate counterparts.
I have a much better bargaining position with the Senate under a conference committee when we've got a bill passed the House and they have a bill that's passed in the Senate.
Bozeman is confident that Congress will pass all 12 appropriations bills before the end of the calendar year, but that means lawmakers will likely need to pass a continuing resolution before October. He says it would be wrong for Congress not to pass anything before the holidays, noting such action would hurt a new presidential administration and Congress coming into power next January.
If you have all of the work of this year that's still not being done, and then the new work of next year, then you get behind immediately. So a lot of people on both sides of the aisle are thinking, that it would be better if we could get these things done and clear the deck for whichever administration it's going to be.
If Congress passes a continuing resolution, lawmakers could consider appropriations during the post-election lame duck session. And that'll do it for this edition of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of August 11th, 2024. You can stay up to date with all news involving Arkansas at arkansasonline.com. You can get in touch with me on social media. My handle is at Alex House Thomas. Special thanks, as always, to the team down in Little Rock. I'm Alex Thomas, and this has been Arkies in the Beltway. Thanks for listening.